Peter Remage de Jud, Schwat Toshin Paybase, Rebbe Eliezer Wolfson.
Good morning, everybody. In the parasha this week, we have many references to Emunah. We have the Shira, we also have Parashas Haman. Many people have a minhag of saying Parashas Haman every day, especially this week on Tuesday, Yom Shlishi of Parashas B'Shalach. So first of all, let's have a look at Parashas Haman. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hineni mamtzi lachem lechem min hashamayim. Hashem says to Moshe, behold, I'm going to rain down for you bread from Shemayim. V'yotza'am v'loktu dvayo v'yomo. The people will go out, they'll gather the bread, the man, each day as it comes. Dvayom yomoy, the man anasenu hayelech b'seirasi imloy. In order to test the Bnei Yisrael, will they go in my Torah or not? The Mefarshim, the Kliyaka explains, the man anasenu hayelech b'seirasi imloy. What does it mean? In order to test them, will they go in my Torah? What's the Nisoy, what's the Torah over here? What's he referring to? So the two nisyonis over here, the Kliyaka explains, is number one, that they take the man of each day and they eat it. And they don't leave over from one day to the next, which is a nisayon. They didn't have any fridges, no freezers, no larders, to finish every day's allocation on its day. And number two, that they not go out on Shabbos. Don't go out, don't gather them on. It must have been there, otherwise it wouldn't have been an Nisayon. It was a very big temptation, but don't go out to get on Shabbos. Have a munna that what you got yesterday on Friday will be enough. These are the mitzvahs Hashem will test the Bnei Yisrael with. These two mitzvahs associated with the man, they demonstrate the bitachon of the Bnei Yisrael. Firstly, if they do not leave over each day, this shows that they're not worried with what they're going to eat tomorrow. They have complete emunah and bitachon. Hashem will bring them tomorrow what they need tomorrow when they get there. Similarly, not going out on Shabbos shows that I know that what I got yesterday, that supply of food will last into tomorrow, into Shabbos also. Hayelech b'seirasi, Hashem says, will they go in my Torah? The Kliyaka says that somebody who is not Sholem in the middle of Bitachon will spend every moment running after amassing more wealth, more possessions, more earthly goods, and he'll never have time to learn Torah because I've got to use every moment, every minute, every second in order to amass more possessions. I've got to earn more money. So, Hayelech B'Sarasi means, will they be happy and content with what they have, which will allow them, Hayelech B'Sarasi, to learn Torah? Because you don't need to go out and earn more money in order to collect more possessions. Use the time, Hayelech B'Sarasi, to learn Torah. The Ora Chaim explains, Leman Anasenu, in order to test them, that this heavenly bread, this man, require no further preparation, he says. The Mefarshim explained that it depended on what madrega they were. For the tzaddikim, it came in a ready-to-eat form. From the deli counter, it was already cooked and prepared, baked, whatever, however you wanted it. So this was the ultimate acid test. This was the litmus test. Everybody had the food, it was ready, the tzaddikim on that madrega, they didn't need to do anything else. So there were no excuses. Hayelech b'seirasi, are you going to learn Torah now? When you've got the opportunities, you've got the time, you don't need to do anything else that we have more time at our disposal. Or we're going to use this time because of whatever it is. Technology, Hashem has allowed us to have more time. Are we now going to use that time? Hayelech b'seirasi, that is the ultimate test, the greatest nisayon. Are we going to use our time for constructive, for holy purposes. Vayabayam Ashishi. The next pasuk says, Vayabayam Ashishi will be on the sixth day. Vechinu Eseshe Yoviu. They will prepare that which they will bring. Vayam Mishne Alashayuk to Yom Yom. It'll prove to be double the amount that they gather each day. On Friday, they'll have a double portion. The Shulchan Aruch Simon Reishnun states, based on this pasuk, Hachona L'Suda Shabbos. That's the title for the Simon. Yashkin Baboika B'Yom HaShishi. We should get up early on Friday. There's a mitzvah to get up early on Friday. L'Hachin Tzorchei Shabbos. To prepare the needs for Shabbos. Do something first thing in the morning. Afilu Yesh Lo Kama Avodim. Even if you've got many servants, Shamshoi, to serve you, Yishtadu L'Hachim Ba'atzmo. Try to do something yourself to prepare for Shabbos. Shum Dovel Tzorcha Shabbos K'di L'Chamdo in order to honor it. This is Kovod Shabbos. K'Rav Chista Hoyim Mechati Chayerek. Rav Chista would chop the vegetables, dak dak. Yeah, very fine. Rabbi Rav Yosef Hoyim Mabakim Eitzim. Rabbi Rav Yosef would chop the wood. Rabbi Zera Hoyim Madlin Ka'ish. Rabbi Zera would light the fire for the cooking. Rav Nachman Hoyim Masakin Habayis. Rav Nachman would, I think means he would tidy the house, get the house ready. Machnes Kelim Asrichim L'Shabbos, bring in the kelim, the vessels, the crockery that is necessary for Shabbos, mefanek kli achol, and clear away the weekday crockery, that which you don't need for Shabbos. Mehem yomer kol adam, everybody should learn from these great Amoraim that it wasn't below their dignity, v'lo yomer lo efkum kavoidi, that it's not below my dignity, if these great Amoraim can busy themselves, go down to the level maybe of what their avodim would do normally in order to prepare for Shabbos, I could also roll my sleeves up, I can also get busy and prepare for Shabbos. It's not below my dignity. The Mishnah Berurah learns that this mitzvah, getting up early in the morning, he explains, preparing for Shabbos, is learned out of this pasuk, V'hayobayam ha-shishi v'hechinu eisa she'oviyu. On the sixth day, they shall prepare eisa she'oviyu. There's a mitzvah of achana for Shabbos. This is part of the mitzvah of covered Shabbos. Rav Nissim Karelitz in Chut HaShoni, he explains that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of covered Shabbos. Preparing Hachana for Shabbos. He says, number one, there is the mitzvah of concerning oneself with preparation for Shabbos, as a means to an end, to ensure that everything is taken care of, in order that when Shabbos comes, you've got everything you need. The food is ready. The house is ready. It's really a means to an end. Then he says there's a further aspect, and that is the preparation for Shabbos is not just a means to an end, but it is an end in itself. That the preparation is in itself choshev. Because by rolling up your sleeves, preparing for Shabbos, you are honoring Shabbos. Busying yourself, involving yourself with Hachana for Shabbos is something which is very choshev, which is very important. Hachana per se is a kovod for Shabbos. He says, the Gemara in Kedushin, the beginning of the second parak, it's interesting, it brings all these Amoraim who got ready for Shabbos. And that sugya is all about mitzvah bo yoysim in b'shluchai, that even though you can make a shliach to do a certain mitzvah, it's better that you yourself roll up your sleeves and you do that mitzvah. So even though, even for the second aspect of hachon of a Shabbos, you can appoint a shliach to do it, the mitzvah in itself are preparing for Shabbos, but it's still better that you do it yourself. The Chofetz Chaim, I saw it quoted, he brings in the Sefer Shem Olam. He says, B'Shem Godol Hador Echad, that somebody who, Rachmona Litzlan, who is nidden that he has to go to Gehenna, La'ach HaMeh Ve'Esra, when it comes to Shabbos, he has a reprieve. He has a get-out-of-jail card, and he can leave Gehenna. for the entirety, for the duration of Shabbos. He says, for somebody who starts his achana of Shabbos early, that reprieve lasts for that entire period from when he starts to prepare for Shabbos. He says, therefore, a person should be careful with preparation for Shabbos, for the achana of Shabbos, because yetiv loy bozeh vaba. It's beneficial in this world and in the next.
Also, the Shabbos goes out. The longer you keep it,
yeah.
You keep it in that way as well.
Yeah, correct. Rabbi Natan, Okay. As we said, the Suda Shabbos, they need Hachana. This is learnt out from the Gemara in Be'er and also the Mechilta. V'chino et sheyoviu. Over there is speaking about Hachana. That Chol Meichin LeShabbos, we can prepare on a weekday for Shabbos, we can't prepare on a Shabbos for Yom Tov for Shabbos. During the week, we need to prepare, do something, make the food edible, designate it, make it in a fit state, ready, that when it comes to Shabbos, you can eat it. The Mechilta explains that even though the mon could be baked and cooked merely through machshava, through one's thought, I want the mon to taste like meat, like chicken, like cholent, whatever it is. Nevertheless, it's forbidden to do this on Shabbos. Therefore, they had to do this before Shabbos. They had to be making the mon before Shabbos. The Moshe of Zakenim in Parshas Baaloischa from the Bali Toisvos, they ask, what's going on over here? What's the problem? Why should baking or cooking be also on Shabbos? If it's being done through Machshava, what's the problem? Why can't I think in order to cook? So, if it's Machshava, he says, nah, that wouldn't be a problem. Rather, the cooking was being done not through Machshava, through a dibur, through speech. They had to say something, and when they said, I want this mon to taste like cholent, it became a mon with a cholent flavor, with a cholent taste. He says, like we learn, you're not allowed to be matter and eder on Shabbos. Speaking, that is more of a problem. You're masaking something, you're actually correcting something, that is a problem. But just a machshava, that's okay. The kasha is that when it comes to bishul on Shabbos, only bishul ba'or, bishul in fire, is a problem. Or a toldah, if it's a derivative of that, something which was heated from fire that was cooked on Shabbos. We know the sugya in Gemara Shabbos, Samatesa Madalev, that bishul b'chama is okay. You're allowed to cook something directly from the sun. Directly from the sun. You put out an egg on top of your roof and the sun is beating down and it cooks the egg. That's okay. Bishul b'chama is fine. So why then should bishul with one's machshava be worse than bishul in the sun, which is mutter in any event? What is the havamina that bishul, cooking with one's thought process, should be a problem? There's no, or even bedibur for that matter. What should be the problem? There's no bishul be'esh. There's no bishul from fire, or something cooked from a fire, derivative of that. What is the problem over here? That you've got to be meichin, you've got to do it before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to be mevashel with your machshava or your dibur. There's no bishul be'esh over here. So let's have a look just for a few minutes at Rashi, and also Rav Moshe Feinstein has a teshuva. He's speaking about cooking in a microwave on Shabbos. So Rashi in Shabbos explains that bishul b'chama, bishul in the sun, is mutter. Why is it mutter? Because in darko b'kach. Yeah. It's not the derech. It's not the normal way how you cook on Shabbos, cooking from the sun. You normally use fire, wood, fuel. That's how most normal people cook. Ramosha Feinstein, speaking about this in his Tshuva and Simon in Tshuva Nun Beis, speak about microwaves, that Bishul in the sun is mutter because in its nature, it's not how Bishul was performed in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, what was the Bishul over there? It was cooking the dyes in order to extract the dyes, in order to dye the ureas, the curtains, in the Mishkan. So even though the quality of the Bishul in the sun may be identical to the form of Bishul in fire, it may be that the cooking is just as good. Maybe it does the same job, and it cooks the food to the same degree, as good as any industrial cooker that you may have. However, the creative malacha is intrinsically different to the malacha of how it was performed in the Mishkan. He says that if it was just, as Rashi says, in Darko Bekach, it's not the normal way, it's not the derech, then that wouldn't be enough for us to understand the whole process over here. Because we know that a malacha done with a shinoi is also asr on Shabbos. It's asr midrabanon. But that's also a problem. You can't cook. You can't do any malacha with a shinoi. Also, fine, it might not be the av malacha of Bishul, but why can't it be a toldah? Why can't Bishul Bechama be a toldah, a derivative of the av malacha of cooking from fire? As we know, there are many derivatives, adaptations of malachas that are also, even though they might not be the exact form of how the malacha was done in the Mishkan, but they're still also to do on Shabbos. So why can't he be a tolder of Bishul Be'esh? So on that, Ramosha explains that really the reason why Bishul Bechama is mutter is because it's not the Meleches Machsheves, it's not conforming to the same thought process of how the Malacha was done in the Mishkan. It's not how it was done in the Mishkan. Why then is it not a Shinoi? Why can't it be a Toldah? Why can't it be a derivative? It can't be a derivative, Rashi now comes in and explains, because in Darko Bekach, when Rashi says in Darko Bekach, he's explaining why it can't be a toldah. Because it's not the normal way how you do Bishul. It's not the derech, it's not the normal way. A toldah is something which is a normal pu'ulah, but it is an application of that pu'ulah in another form. For example, you've got Bishul and you've got Ofer. They are both achieving the same result in different ways. You've got the principle of the malacha, and then you've got another application of it. Or you may have zoreya. You want to do a pu'ula that causes grass to grow. It could be zoreya. It could be pruning. It could be watering the grass. But over here we have, essentially, we have the av malacha of Bishul Be'esh, and then you're doing something which is effectively the same pu'ula, but you're doing it in a substandard, abnormal way by you cooking in the sun. Okay. So that's why the Gemara says in Pesachim, if you cook in the Chamei Tveria, in the hot springs of Tveria, the hot water that's heated from the sun, that's going to be potter because it's not Bishul Be'esh. So basing himself on this analysis, let's get back to what we were talking about. Ramosha concludes that any form of cooking that is entirely usual and it is common, it must be regarded as a toldah. The only reason why Bishul Bechama is not a toldah because in Derech Bekach, it's not the normal way. But any form, any derivative, any other form of cooking which is normal, we would have to say that this would be a toldah of the Av Malacha of Bishul on Shabbos. regardless of the source or the nature of that heat used in the cooking process. So therefore, Reb Moshe Paskins, the use of a microwave oven on Shabbos is an Issa Doraisa, it is cooking on Shabbos. That is the normal way of how people cook. He said, in his days, people weren't really, not many people were cooking with microwaves. It hadn't become so widespread, so commonplace. But he says, if it does become normal, then cooking in a microwave would be an Issa Doraisa. But let's say it was already switched on before Shabbos. See, you're getting around that problem. It was on a time switch, okay? Rabbi Yomin Silber, he says that he notes that if Rashi's comment is to be understood in this manner, it would follow that if at any time actually cooking in the sun became normal, it came into vogue, that that's how people start cooking, as it is in many places in Eretz Yisrael, that they heat the water is heated from solar panels, then, according to what Rashi is saying, as soon as it becomes the derech, it would constitute cooking, it would constitute bishul, and therefore it would be an issur d'oraisa. Now, according to Reb Moshe's understanding of the sugya, the bishul of the man, the cooking of the man with machshava, with one's thought process, would accordingly be asa, because that was orche, that was how the Bnei Yisrael cooked the man in the midbar. That's the normal way. If you look in your man manual, how do I cook my man? Yeah, rare, medium, however you like it. You look in your manual, it says there, you cook it through machshava. Like the microwave. Therefore, it will be osa, it will be an issur d'oraisa.
Then it's
sorry? But the principle we still learn out from today. You could try. I'm not sure you'll do that much today. Yeah, you might not have that much food ready for Shabbos. Yeah, if that's orche, yeah, that, yeah, like a microwave. That was the microwave in the midbar. Okay. The Avnei Nezer, and also the Egli Tal. It's actually the same person. They explain that the bishul in the sun, why is it mutter? Why is bishul b'chama mutter? Because qualitatively, in terms of the quality, the nature of bishul b'chama doesn't do what bishul b'or does. It doesn't actually get into the kishka, into the food, in the same way that bishul b'eish achieves. He makes the chilo between the poil and the nifl. That even though you yourself, the person acting, the actor may be doing a normal action, but in terms of the food being acted upon, it doesn't actually achieve the same result. It's not as good. However, cooking of the man with one's machshava would be a top-class bishul of the highest quality, equivalent to the highest grade industrial oven. Bishul machshava would achieve qualitatively a level of bishul which would be on par with a bishul be'esh, and that is why bishul machshava, according to the Egli Tal, would be a problem, would be a bishul midoraisa. Okay, got a couple more minutes. Let's have a look at the shira. Vaya Yisrael esayot hagdoila shalsa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. Passing that we're all familiar with. Yisrael saw the great hand that Hashem did by Mitzrayim. And the people feared Hashem. And they believed in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. The Malbim explains that at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yiras Hashem of the Bnei Yisrael, it reached a madrega that they had not previously possessed. Previously, they had a madrega of Yiras Hashem that was a fear of something, a Yira with the letter Mem, a fear of something, a fear of, or from, you fear from something. But now the Yira and the Amuna reached a different level. It was V'yira Ha'am Es Hashem. We didn't have a Yira of or from with the letter Mem. It was V'yira Ha'am Es Hashem. It became a Yira, not only a Yira of punishment, of retribution. What would Hashem do to them if they misbehave? But it was a Yira of a Yira Saroimimus, of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the Kriyas Yamsov, after the Kriyas Yamsov, they reached that higher level. Not just Yiras Hachid, but Yiras Haroimimus. It was V'yiru Ha'am Es Hashem. They actually feared Hashem himself. V'yamidu B'Hashem V'moshe Avdoi. They believed in Hashem. It wasn't only a belief with the letter Lamed, that you believe for or about something, that you believe that something will happen. You have an emunah for something. Something Hashem is going to do for me. No, it was v'yaminu b'Hashem. They believed in Hashem himself. It was no longer a belief merely in the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a deep-seated, inherent emunah in the messenger. Not just in the message, but in the messenger. V'yaminu b'Hashem v'moshe avdoi. That was cemented in their hearts at that time. And for all time. For some, until this point, they believed in Moshe, the Malbim explains, but not totally in Hashem. They thought that Moshe had performed the miracles from his great wisdom, from his chokhmah, from his brilliance, but they weren't totally 100% convinced in Hashem. On the other hand, there were some who believed unequivocally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they lacked that fundamental belief in Moshe. They thought that maybe Moshe added some of the things from his own mind. The Amin of Hashem and Moshe Avdo, as Moshe, in his capacity as the Eved of Hashem, they believed in both of them 100%. It's never easy while a person is going through an Nisayon, as you're going through the tunnel, to behold the light as you're still going through the tunnel, before the light is revealed. And even after the Yeshua from Hashem is experienced, it's still difficult to appreciate the necessity for the Nisayon in the first place. Why did I have to go through it? The Beis Halevi, there's a beautiful Beis Halevi over here. He quotes the Medrash. Moshe says, with Oz Chotosi, when he says, when Moshe said, Me'oz bosi al paro, here al amazeth, and when, Me'oz, when I went before Paro, you only made life more difficult for the Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, Moshe says, with Oz Yosha Moshe, I'm going to be masakin that, I'm singing the Shira with the word Oz. He says, the Beis Halevi explains, that when a person is in a state of tsar, and is rescued by HaKadosh Baruch from his predicament, and he gives thanks to Hashem, the thanks can take two forms. If his thanks is just for the Yeshua, that he's been delivered from his predicament, then, of course, he's very happy now, but he would had rather that he wouldn't have had to have the problem, the challenge, the Nisayon in the first place. He wouldn't have had the problem. His primary simcha is for the salvation. It's not for the original tzar. On the contrary, he didn't want the tzar in the first place. He says, and then there is a more elevated, more sublime level. That is when the Bnei Yisrael reached the other side of the Yam Suf and they sang the Shira. The main simcha of the Bnei Yisrael at that time was not on being liberated from the Mitzrayim, not on being liberated from the torture, from the degradation, everything they experienced in Mitzrayim. Rather, the Bnei Yisrael's main simcha at that time was on the Shibud itself, was on the oppression itself, that they were a kli, a vehicle, a vessel that allowed the name of Hashem to become sanctified. They allowed the Kiddush Hashem in the world when he brought his Nisim and all the wonders and punished the Mitzrayim. They became the vehicle that allowed a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to take place in the world. Therefore, he says, the Shira was primarily a rejoicing on the actual slavery, because if not for the slavery, the redemption would not have been possible. The light at the end of the tunnel will not have been possible. The simcha on the Golus was on par with the simcha of the Geula. This is what the Medrash means, the Beis Halevi explains, that Moshe was now singing with Oz on the Geula in the Shira, when he, just as he exclaimed Oz on the unbearable slavery, his simcha was on that exalted level, on that all-encompassing level, that he sang the Shira not only for the happy days of the Geula, but it also included the Oz of before, of all those years of torture. The Beis Halevi says, this will end up, of this is a Peshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim that we say in Hallel, Oidcha Hashem ki anisani vadhi lilishor. So we normally translate that as, I give thanks to you, Hashem, ki anisani, that I was afflicted, vadhi lilishor, and now you've become a salvation, you've rescued me from my problems. He says no. We can read this on a deeper level. Oidcha Hashem ki ani soni. I'm giving thanks ki ani soni because you afflicted me, because you gave me the problem. I give thanks for the problems, for the affliction that give rise to Hashem's deliverance, which in turn brings about a Kiddush Hashem in the world. And for both, I offer my thanks and appreciation to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good day.